PageTurners.com podcast. The goal of these podcasts is to strengthen you and to equip you to have a normal Christian life and a normal church life, that you might be one whom God can use to turn this age. My name is Ricky Acosta, and today we continue our fellowship in the line that we call Flee and Pursue. In the recent podcasts, we've been seeing how Paul, at the end of his life, at a very desperate time, when he knows that his martyrdom is probably at hand, he reaches out to his young co-worker, Timothy, the one whom he can trust so much and the one to whom he wanted to entrust so much to carry on the testimony of the Lord's move on the earth. And we saw that at this time, at this desperate time in the last days, in the evil times of the last days, Paul charged his young co-worker to remind him, not to so much give new teachings to him, but to remind him of all that he had spoken to him in the past and all that he had imparted into him in all their times together. So he reminds him to both fan into flame the gift of God that is within him and to guard the good deposit that was within him. Paul wanted to encourage his young co-worker to go on and to stand for the Lord in the midst of the evil age. And we saw in chapter 2 how he encourages Timothy to find the faithful ones to go on with together and to equip them and to pursue the Lord with those who call on the Lord's name out of a pure heart. He wanted Timothy to realize he can't go on alone. He has to go on with others. In chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, we see that Paul was warning Timothy against the evil of the dark age. And for this, he needed to be infused with the God-breathed scriptures, and that these scriptures, the word of God, would be able to perfect him and to make him complete so that he could be one who could stand for the Lord's testimony in the midst of the darkness. And this brings us to chapter 4, the final chapter of 2 Timothy, which is really the last part of Paul's letter. Please remember, these were not just written as so-called books of the Bible. At the time, this was a letter that Paul was writing to his young co-worker. This was something so intimate. He was trying to impart his whole being and all his vision into his young co-worker for the going on, not just of Timothy, but of the church, the going on of the church, the going on of the Lord's testimony. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, in this final writing, in this final chapter, there are a number of things that are so crucial. And it's interesting to see what Paul emphasized at the end. In this chapter, Paul mentions that the time of his departure is at hand. He's being poured out already. The time of his departure is at hand. That is, he knew that his martyrdom was imminent. He knew that he didn't have much time. And it's interesting to note, when someone is at the end, what do they emphasize? What is on their heart for those loved ones around them? And in this chapter, we can see a number of things. The first is found in verse 1. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Oh, he was charging Timothy to have a life in the light of the Lord's coming, that Timothy would have a living, realizing that we all will stand one day before the Lord, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and that we would realize that we have a life with a view toward the Lord's appearing and his kingdom. We're living in today, but we're living for tomorrow. We're living for the next age. We're in this age not to be bound, not to be befuddled by this age, but with a view to the Lord's coming. Even a young brother should have such a living. Yes, we need to take care of all our daily responsibilities with schooling, with our education, with our job, and all the practical things of our daily life. But we must never be befuddled or captured, ensnared by all the things. This is what Paul mentions in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, that as a soldier, you cannot be entangled with the affairs of this life. Oh, brothers and sisters, it is a healthy thing to live our Christian life in light of the Lord's appearing. A second thing that we see is in verse 2, proclaim the word, be ready in season and out of season, convict, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. And in verse 5, but you be sober in all things, suffer evil, do the work of an evangelist, fully accomplish your ministry. Here we see that Paul was charging Timothy to be faithful to speak. Be faithful in season and out of season. Speak to all the ones around them, whatever was the necessary word at the time, including the gospel. Do the work of an evangelist. Be sober in all things. Oh, brothers and sisters, this shows us, as we are living our life today, we see things differently than others around us. We are sober. We see clearly, and we see that we are in the last days. Others may not see that, so they give themselves to so many things like entertainment and sports just for the pleasure of the soul. And although we need to live a normal life, we have sobriety. We have a clear view of where we are and where we're going. And that's why we need to do the work of an evangelist. Why we need to be ready in season and out of season to speak the gospel to our friends, to our cousins, to our classmates, to speak a little something of our enjoyment of the Lord, even of our experience of the Lord, of how we experience Him as peace in all the things of daily life. And even as we're suffering evil, as it says in verse 5, we suffer evil. We don't expect our life will be so smooth, but as we're living our life, we experience the Lord as our peace, as our comfort. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to be ready in season and out of season, always ready to give an account of our faith, to speak something when the Lord gives us the opportunities. And if we pray for the opportunities, the Lord will be faithful to give us the opportunities to speak to those around us. Oh, especially in these last times, how we need to share the gospel with all those around us, that the Lord may be able to have a way to gain many new age-turners, gain many that He could saturate and that He could infuse and give a vision of Christ and the church, of God's economy, so that they can join us. They can be part of those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart and be those who inhale the breath of God through the God-breathed scriptures, so that they can be perfected and completed as men of God in this age. Oh, may the Lord inspire us to do the work of an evangelist, to proclaim the word and to be ready in season and out of season. Another thing we see that Paul emphasized is the matter of keeping our love for the Lord fresh. In verse 8, Paul says, henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day. And not only me, but also all those who have loved His appearing. But he continues, verse 9, be diligent to come to me quickly. And then verse 10, a strong warning here. For Demas has abandoned me, having loved the present age. Oh, dear saints, we see a kind of contrast of loves, of our loving in these few verses. That is, Paul was talking about loving the Lord's appearing and how the Lord would recompense, would reward not only Paul, but all those who have loved his appearing. But in contrast, we have Demas in verse 10, who was a co-worker, most likely older than Timothy, and he loved the present age, and that led him to abandon Paul and Paul's ministry and God's economy in that time. Oh, dear saints, we need to keep our heart in freshness, in love for the Lord. We need to guard our heart. So many things in this world, in this age, are fighting for our attention, fighting for the love in our heart. Oh, how we need to guard our heart against the things of the present age. That doesn't mean that we avoid everything and we don't live a kind of normal life. Yes, we live a kind of normal life, going to school and being with our friends. But how we have to guard our heart against the present age. We need to be someone who loves the Lord's appearing today. And we have the Lord's appearing today in our fellowship with him, especially in the Word. Oh, Lord Jesus, keep our heart, guard our heart for yourself. And then in verse 11, we see a very, very precious point. And this has to do with the mentioning of Mark. Luke alone is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for the ministry. Oh, if you know the history of Mark, you realize how precious it is that in the final chapter written by Paul, he mentions Mark in such an intimate and precious way, even saying that he is useful to Paul for the ministry. The first time we see Mark is in Acts chapter 12, where Peter is released from prison and goes directly to a prayer meeting that's held in the home of a sister named Mary, who is the mother of, says there, John Mark, who is this Mark, who is the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. And we know when we read through the New Testament that Mark was a relative, probably a nephew, or could be a cousin of Barnabas. That is, Barnabas was related to this Mary, and Mary was Mark's mother. And this Barnabas was very instrumental in bringing the Apostle Paul into function, and even went out with Paul, when he's called Saul, to in his initial ministry. And they bring along this Mark, but this Mark had a kind of failure. Maybe he was not ready. He was weak in constitution. We don't know the exact reason, but he abandons Paul and Barnabas in the midst of their ministry trip. And when in the second time that Paul and Barnabas are going out, Barnabas wants to bring Mark again with them. Oh, Paul and Barnabas have a contention at the end of Acts 15. And Paul refuses to include Mark in their ministry journey. So Barnabas takes Mark and they go off on their own and are not mentioned again. But here at the end in Paul's last writing, even though this Mark had a failure in the past, Paul says, take Mark and bring him with you. What does it show us here, saints? Well, at least these two things. First, that our failures should not keep us down. If we had some failures in the past, we need to just stand up, repent, and go on. It says in Proverbs that a righteous man falls seven times and gets up again. We need to have such an attitude. Forget the things behind. We have the blood. We can claim the blood to cleanse us. We can repent, but don't stay there wallowing in regret. We go on. It really is more important how you finish than how you begin. So just the mention of Mark here is a real strengthening. Oh, probably many of us can associate ourselves with Mark. We had some kind of failure, but at the end, we could be very useful. Oh, may all the Marks rise up and return and join with the Timothys of the age to stand with the Lord. Oh, the churches need Timothy's and Mark's serving together. So also we see in this point that Timothy needs Mark. Paul did not just entrust something to Timothy and say, Timothy, you stand for the Lord on your own. He realized that Timothy needed some to go on with, needed some companions, even some that maybe Timothy would think, oh, Mark is not that strong. Mark is a weak one. But you need the weak ones. The strong ones need the weak ones. Actually, in the principle of the body, we all need one another. Don't look down on anyone. As long as someone shows up and wants to go on, we should take anyone and everyone as our companion. And finally, with the last verse, I think a verse we're probably all very familiar with. Verse 22, 2 Timothy 4:22. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. So what do we see here? Paul's final word to his young co-worker is, pay attention to your spirit. Flee to your spirit. Oh, grace is in your spirit. The supply is in your spirit. There is the manifold grace, the multiplied grace to strengthen you, even in the darkness of the age. Come back to the grace in your spirit. Oh, brothers and sisters, these words that were given to Timothy are not just for him at that time. These words are for all of us and can be applied to us today when we're in the fulfillment of the last days, of the difficult times, as it says in the beginning of 2 Timothy chapter 3. But we have a supply. We have a supply. So we need to live our life in the light of the Lord's coming and be faithful to speak, to be ready in season and out of season to do the work of an evangelist. While we do that, we guard our heart against the present age and keep our love for the Lord always fresh. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Oh, Lord, renew my love for you. As we're doing this, we realize we need companions to go on with. We need the marks, the Timothys and the marks serving together. And finally, we take care of our spirit and we take care of enjoying Christ every day, simply coming back to him in our spirit. Oh, I hope what we've shared from 2 Timothy would be an encouragement to all of us. All of us are the Timothys and the marks. So I leave you with this charge of the Apostle Paul. Oh, Timothy, guard the deposit. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Lord, produce so many marks and Timothys for your testimony in the last days, to be those who live in the light of your coming, and even to build the church and bring you back. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Make your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For ageturners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.